Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
I want to begin by talking about household salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, as believers in Christ, God has given us many promises. But one of the chief promises that God wants us to believe him for is the salvation of all of our loved ones. The Bible says in Acts 16 and 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your entire household." That means all of your relatives in your household. Now, Paul spoke these words to a man just before he was born again. And God is not a respecter of person. What God will do with one, he'll do with us all if we'll simply believe. Now, some of them may not know Christ as Savior. I'm talking about our relatives, may have never known Christ as Savior, and some have walked away from the Lord. However, God is our Heavenly Father, and he anxiously awaits the return of all of his children to him. In the parable of the prodigal son, the father in that story represents God and his attitude toward all those who are far away from him. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, it shows us how when the son was approaching, the father was already watching for him. It states, "So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming." You see, God is looking with anticipation for the salvation of our loved ones. He wants them to be saved. It goes on to say, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, he embraced him, and kissed him. Now, let me just get something straight so that we all understand God's mentality. God loves every single one of us. Whether we are born again or not, the Bible says God so loves the world, the entire world. In fact, the entire world and all of the people in the world really belong to God. Whether they serve him or not, that's not the issue. They really belong to God. Now listen to what God says. God says in Ezekiel chapter 18 and 4, "All souls are mine." He didn't say some. He didn't say just the ones born again. He said all the souls, all of the people I created, all of the people on the face of the earth, all souls are mine. And then he gets into family. He says, "The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine." What is God talking about there? He's saying that he is concerned about the entire family. The souls of the entire family, the father, the son, the sister, the mom, all of them. God calls entire families to know him. Now, we may not experience that now or be experiencing it, but I want to let you know that that has always been God's design, for whole families to come to him and to serve him. Let me just give you a few examples. God called Moses. But not just Moses, he called his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam. When David was fleeing from Saul, listen to what the Bible says. In 1 Samuel 22 and 1, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard of it, they all went down to join him. Let's talk about some other families, some famous families in the Bible. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, were cousins. The Bible tells us in Luke 1 and 34, it says, "Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I have not known a man? The angel Gabriel just told her, you're going to have the Son of the living God. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy Child, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And your cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. So when you see that, you have to realize that John the Baptist and Jesus were actually second cousins. Now, when we look at Jesus' disciples, we see something else amazing. Jesus called family members to be his disciples. His disciples, James and John, were brothers. And then there was their mother, Salome, who also followed Jesus. She was the one who went to Jesus, pulled him aside, and said, Lord, do me a favor, whatever I ask. And he said, what's the favor? She said, when you come into your kingdom, let one son of mine sit on one side and the other on the other. Is that okay? And the Lord said, no, that has been reserved to those that God has reserved that for. I can't do that. So that was Salome who actually said that. God called Peter and Andrew, who were brothers. That is, Jesus did. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. You remember that? He went to Peter's house in Luke chapter 4 and 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon Peter. Now, Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. So you see, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are concerned with families. God wants to save our entire family. So don't stop praying for your family members, no matter how difficult it may seem to you, because God is dealing with them because of your prayers. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 13, a woman named Lydia and her entire family were saved and baptized after hearing Paul preach. The Bible says, on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we supposed that some people met for prayer. And we sat down and we began to speak to the women who had come together there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. And then she was baptized along with the other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guest. You see, when you were born again and placed in a family, God placed you there divinely so that family would be influenced by you spiritually, so that they would come to know the Lord as their personal Savior, because it is God's plan for an entire family to be born again. If there is a Christian in a family, it's because it's God's plan for that entire family to be born again. And we see this throughout the scriptures. Let me give you just a few more examples of this. In Genesis chapter 6, we see that God was about to destroy the world. The world had sinned, and God really was sorry that he even created the world. But he found a man named Noah, and he said to Noah, build me an ark. The Bible says, in Genesis 6 and 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And God gave him a commandment, again, to build an ark and to put animals upon it. The Bible tells us in Genesis 7 and 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life. How many of you would like to live to be 600 years old? Anybody today? Okay, not too many hands. The Bible says on the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. So when God sent the flood, the water under the ground broke through and came up, and then the heavens opened and the water from above fell down upon the people also. The Bible says, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And on that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered into the ark. This represents household salvation. God saved that entire household. The Bible says Noah found favor, but his entire family was saved. Now, when God instituted the Passover, which represents the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for our sins, it's so interesting to read what the details were. Listen to what God told Moses to do regarding the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb." Listen, "according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." God did not say a lamb for a person in the house. God said, take a lamb for the entire household. Jesus is the Lamb of God slain for us before the foundations of the world. But this is showing us once again that when Jesus died for us, it was not just for us as individuals. He died for our entire household, a lamb for the household. So God is expecting us to understand and realize he wants all of our family members born again.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Let me give you another example. In Genesis chapter 19, it tells how God delivered Abraham's nephew Lot and his entire family from sudden death in Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, Genesis chapter 19 and 12 talks about God sending the angels to get them out of the city safely. Now listen to the question that the angels asked them. In verse 12, listen, they said, "Do you have any other relatives in the city?" the angels asked. "Get them out of this place, whether it be sons-in-laws or sons or daughters or anyone else, for we will destroy the city completely. The stench of the place has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it." Verse 15, "At the dawn of the next day, the angels came and they insisted, 'Hurry, hurry,' they said to Lot, 'take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out of here now, or you will be caught in the destruction of the city.' And when Lot was hesitant, the angels seized his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful." And if the Lord was merciful to Lot's family because of Abraham's sake, he will be merciful to our families today for our sake. Are any of you feeling that, you know, I wonder if the Lord really wants all of my loved ones to be saved? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever wondered? The Lord wants me to tell you today, he wants them all saved. God wants every one of your children He wants every one of your relatives to be born again and saved. And so this is so important. Listen, don't leave it up to luck. Luck doesn't even exist. God wants your family, every family member, to be born again. I'm not just talking about your family in your house, your whole extended family. That's the will of God for your life. The Bible tells us about Jacob and his family, and that entire family would have been destroyed by a coming famine. But God spoke in his foreknowledge and brought forth a miracle for Jacob and his family. And that was when he sent Joseph ahead of them to Egypt. Now, it looked like Joseph was in a lot of trouble when he went there. But folks, God sent Joseph before the famine occurred so that his whole family would be saved. And God has sent you into this world for a similar reason. You were sent here by God so that all of the members in your family would be born again. That's why you're here. It's not just here for you and your immediate household. No, it's for your extended family. This was God's plan for your life and for your family. So let me ask you a question. What are you doing about it? Are you calling them and telling them about the Lord or discussing eternity with them? Have you sent them any CDs? Have you sent them any materials about salvation? It's important for us to realize that we are really responsible for our family members. In Joshua chapter 2, God directed two Israeli spies to go to the house of Rahab, a harlot, and she protected them. Now listen to what she said to them when she realized that Israel was going to come into the land and destroy Jericho. And this is the same attitude we should have today as believers about all of our family members. Listen to her request. Then she said to the men, "Please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. And give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us all from certain death." And when we look at Joshua chapter 6 and 24, we see the outcome of this request. The Bible says they burned the city with fire and all that was in it. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So once again, folks, God wants your entire family to be saved. Even those who have unsaved spouses. Some people wonder, well, what about my husband, my wife? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul had a problem there because he was talking to the Corinthians who had just gotten born again, and their mates were not saved. They were not born again. So they were going and divorcing them and marrying those in the church who were born again because they said, you know what? I'm tired of this person. They're unbelief. I just want to marry somebody who loves Jesus and knows Jesus. That's what they started doing. So Paul had to say, wait, stop. Listen, God has a plan for your unsaved spouses. Listen to what that plan is. Even your unsaved spouse has been set aside by God for salvation. Not everybody knows that. But because you are there, God has sanctified them and set them aside. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 14. For the unbelieving husband shall be sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. Now, the word sanctify implies to be set aside for salvation, literally to make holy and morally pure. God has determined that your spouse, even though they're not born again, will be born again because of you. I had a situation where God proved that to me firsthand. I was a pastor in another church, very large church, and I was the pastor on call. Well, what does it mean to be the pastor on call? That means to speak to anybody who comes to the church. You know, and it was a 1,000-member more church, so there was a lot of people coming that week, and you got really tired, and you asked God for wisdom and everything. But anyway, one of the people who visited me that week was a gentleman. He looked disheveled, and he's an elderly man. He hadn't shaved. He had a gruff beard, and his clothes were kind of in disarray. But he came, and he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And I said, how can I help you? I thought it was for money or something. Well, I was shocked when he gave me a tithe envelope. He said, no, here's my wife's tithe. So I said, my goodness, what a faithful woman who was shut in and would still send her tithe to the church. So I said, your wife certainly knows God. And he says, yes, she certainly did know God. I said, well, what do you mean? She just died 2 days ago. So he began to tell me, with tears in his eyes, he said, I've been married for 25 years to the most wonderful woman in the world. She prayed for me every day. She asked me to go to church with her every day. I would not go. I would mock her. I would sometimes even prevent her from going. But she would continue to go to church. She would pay her tithes. I let her do that because she insisted that was the way God was going to bless us. But now my wife has died. And on her deathbed, she called me over and she said, honey, I need to make out the tithe check. She made it out, put it in this envelope, and she said, now, dear, I have to leave here. I'm going to heaven, but I've been praying for you. She says, would you do me a favor? He said, well, anything, dear. Take this envelope to the pastor of the church and give it to him. He'll know what to do with it. And so he said, she said you would know what to do with this, sir. So I'm giving you this offering. I said, I do know what to do with it, sir. You need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your wife has prayed for you all of these 25 years, and you've been running from God. But now she's in heaven. I said, would you like to see her again? He said, oh, yes, more than anything. I said, then this is your day of salvation. That's why she gave you the envelope, so that you could bring it to me, so that you could find your way to the Lord and see her again someday. Well, he got down on his knees and just cried and cried and cried. And when he came off his knees, his whole countenance was totally changed. His face lit up like light, and he was so excited and so happy. And he said, if I had known I would feel like this, I would have done this 25 years ago. He said, oh, and I will see my wife again now, won't I? I said, yes, you. He said, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to attend this church. You're going to see me every day here. God has done something for me today, and my wife was not even here to see it. And I heard the Lord say to me, you and your family shall be saved. This woman went on to her reward, not even seeing her husband born again, but God made her a promise that you and your family will be saved. And her husband was born again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So don't count your loved ones out. If you will just agree with God's word, just begin to agree with what God says. Me and all of my house, all of my relatives will be born again.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the media tab. The title of today's message is Household Salvation. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. I'm so glad for this opportunity to be able to pray with you. I don't know your needs, but God certainly knows them. So let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would bless every individual in the name of Jesus, your Holy Son. Father, you are a God of blessing. You know the needs of the people today. We believe you today in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, to meet every need. And we thank you for it in his name. Let's say amen. Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. God bless you and keep listening.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.